following is a recording for Lawrence Hughes with the American Hospital Association of Washington on Tuesday, December 5th, 2017 at 10 o'clock a.m. Central Time.
Welcome to another in AHA's ongoing series of cybersecurity audiocasts, where we focus on important issues of cybersecurity risk management and reduction for hospital leaders. My name is Lawrence Hughes, and I'm the Assistant General Counsel for the American Hospital Association. Today, we're going to talk about insurance coverage for cyber and data liabilities. I'm joined for this discussion by Jane Larson, a partner at the Washington, D.C. office of the law firm of Jenner & Block, LLP. Jane specializes in insurance work on behalf of corporate policyholders. Her practice includes counseling clients with regard to insurance needs, placement and renewals, as well as representing clients when a disputed claim arises with insurers. Today, we hope to provide some answers to common questions that our members may have about this type of insurance coverage and evaluating the need for insurance within your organization. Welcome, Jen.
Thanks, Lawrence. I'm happy to be here with you today.
Great. So, Jen, what role can cyber insurance, cyber liability insurance, play as part of an organization's overall strategy to manage cybersecurity-related risks?
To my mind, insurance should be a key component in managing an organization's cyber-related risk. At a basic level, it's no different than other potential liabilities that an organization evaluates. Thinking about the nature of what you want to protect, its value in the event of a loss, as well as the likelihood that a loss might occur. What's different about cyber liabilities, however, as more and more of our personal business and data is stored and accessed electronically, is the likelihood that a loss is an if and not a when. Having the right kind of insurance coverage in place and with the right limits can help an organization plan for and offset the potential costs associated with cyber-related incidents that we are going to discuss today. An insurance broker with expertise in cyber liability insurance can also be a key team member that can assist an organization to evaluate the premiums and the limits of liability available in the current marketplace.
Well, Jen, we hear so many things about different types of cyber threats occurring in the news today. Are there cyber liability exposures that are unique to healthcare that our members should have top of mind?
Absolutely, Lawrence. The healthcare industry is a really significant target for many types of data breaches and other cyber-related incidents, mostly as a result of the fact that it maintains an enormous amount of confidential medical and other personal information, and it's subject to very strict regulations governing that information, both at the federal and state level. Sources of data breach exposure are unique in the sense that they can be both external and internal. External risks can, for example, take the form of a data breach resulting from an unauthorized third-party access to the organization's network systems, but there are also significant internal sources of risk. Some involve intentional employee misconduct, while others involve unintentional conduct. For example, a data security system programming error, or it can be as simple as a lost laptop or a thumb drive. But both can result in an unauthorized disclosure of confidential or personal information. Other types of cyber-related incidents include, but by no means are limited to, things like malware and ransomware attacks. Ransomware attacks in particular have occupied the news headlines lately, so we can spend a little bit of time talking about them here. However, they're only the latest example of these sorts of emerging and evolving threats. One common form of a malware attack is one where an organization's network is infiltrated and certain critical operations data is identified and encrypted such that the organization can no longer access that data unless it pays a ransom to receive a decryption key that will allow it to unencrypt the data and regain its access. One recent highly publicized and widespread example of that type of attack is the WannaCry ransomware attack from this past May. It exploited vulnerabilities within the Microsoft Windows operating system, which is a pretty common system used by many organizations, and it impacted companies worldwide. Another common form of ransomware attack entails unauthorized access to an organization's network, accompanied by a threat to exfiltrate or extract protected confidential business or personal information, unless the organization, again, pays a ransom to prevent the public release of that data. Let me give you just a couple of quick statistics, too, while we're on the topic. 89% of organizations in the healthcare industry, included in a recent study by an independent research institute, reported experiencing a data breach involving stolen or lost patient information within the past 2 years. And in 2016, organizations within the healthcare industry were the victims of 88% of all reported ransomware attacks. While the healthcare industry's role as an information holder makes it a particularly vulnerable target, it's important to keep in mind that the form of the breach or the attack can vary. An organization's information technology and security teams, and their risk managers too, must keep abreast of the latest developments in order to ensure that the organization's internal controls and insurance programs adequately guard against emerging and evolving risks.
Jen, I know lots of organizations think, well, I don't have a standalone cyber insurance policy. Won't our other insurance policies still offer coverage for these types of losses?
Not necessarily. It, of course, depends on the particular policies that you have. However, insurers have hotly contested whether other types of more traditional insurance policies, things like comprehensive general liability coverage, property coverage, and crime coverage, whether these were intended to provide coverage for data breaches or other cyber-related incidents. Indeed, some of them expressly contain exclusions that preclude coverage for these types of events. Absent an express exclusion, results in litigated cases have been somewhat mixed, and they depend heavily on the facts of the loss and the language in your particular policy at issue.
Well, Jen, do individual directors and officers face potential liability in connection with a cyber-related risk?
Yes, that is something that organizations should be concerned about. There is potential liability that can attach to individual directors and officers. In recent years, a number of class actions brought by consumers, as well as shareholder and derivative actions, have specifically named individual directors and officers alongside the organization itself as defendants in those actions. The typical allegations can be negligence-based in connection with purported fiduciary duties owed by those directors and officers. One example is an alleged failure to adequately protect the data from disclosure, either by a failure in implementation or an oversight of the organization's data security systems. Another example is an alleged failure to adequately disclose or otherwise notify consumers of a data breach or other cyber-related incident that can be related to either the timing or the scope of the disclosure. Based on the current status of these cases, the strength of the claims against the individual directors and officers is not yet clear. Some actions have been dismissed on other grounds without a merits determination, and others have been settled. But what's clear is that individual directors and officers certainly risk being named as defendants and having to participate in the defense of these types of actions.
So would an organization's traditional directors and officers insurance liability policy cover potential liability for the individual officers and directors in connection with these cyber risks?
I would say the answer to that is maybe. Most D&O coverage provides coverage for loss the individual directors and officers become legally obligated to pay on account of a claim for a wrongful act. And there are separate insuring agreements depending on whether the company is indemnifying the individual directors and officers or not. In most instances, the term wrongful act in a policy, it will include any alleged or actual errors, omissions, misstatements, and other breaches of an individual director or officer's duties. As a result, the types of negligence-based derivative actions and allegations often included against directors and officers in these types of actions that we've been discussing that follow a cyber-related incident arguably do fall within the traditional scope of the D&O coverage, but it's critical for organizations to review the exclusions portion of the policy to determine whether any of those exclusions might be specific to cyber-related incidents.
So, Jen, how is cyber liability insurance different from the other types of insurance we've been talking about?
Well, it's a product that is specifically designed to respond to a variety of different types of data-related losses and the associated costs that go along with those, many of which are unique to these kinds of cyber-related risks. The coverage is often organized in what we call cafeteria style, which means that an organization can pick and choose from a variety of different coverage parts depending on its specific needs, and it can build a custom insurance policy. a little bit different than the way more traditional insurance policies are usually structured. For instance, we spoke earlier about the particular threat ransomware attacks pose to organizations in the healthcare industry specifically. Most cyber insurance policy forms will offer the organization the option to purchase what is commonly referred to as data extortion coverage. That's a coverage that's designed to cover costs incurred by the organization to investigate and respond to a security threat against its computer systems, one that demands money and, in some instances, other types of property of value, in exchange for protection of the organization's data from disruption, deletion, disclosure, etc. Another distinct feature of cyber insurance policies is the option to purchase so-called event management coverage. That's designed to cover costs that can be incurred by an organization following a data breach, and they're unique to those types of losses. It can include the cost to retain certain kinds of specialists that can assist the organization in investigating and responding to the loss. Some examples might include a forensic data expert who could be required to determine the cause and confirm that any related system vulnerabilities are addressed. It could include outside counsel with expertise in data breach and privacy laws that might be required to advise the organization on its consumer and patient notification obligations, which can differ in each state. And it can also include the costs associated with preparing and sending out those notices, as well as the cost of offering something like identity theft monitoring services for some period of time. It also might include something like a public relations firm that could be required to the extent the organization anticipates any potential damage to its reputation that might negatively impact its business. In addition to these kinds of specialized coverages, cyber liability insurance policies also typically contain more standard security and privacy liability coverage. That's designed to provide coverage to the organization against third-party claims and suits that might follow a data breach or other cyber-related incident, the types of consumer class actions and shareholder and derivative actions that we mentioned earlier, for example. It can include costs incurred by the organization in connection with its own defense and any later settlements or judgments it might be required to pay. Additional types of coverage can also be purchased that is specific to things like costs incurred in connection with different investigations and proceedings that might be initiated by government entities, like a state attorney general or the Department of Justice.
So, Jen, for those organizations that are interested in obtaining resources related to the purchase of cyber liability insurance, I mean, where would they go? What would they rely on in order to purchase this kind of insurance? What are the kind of limits that are appropriate? How would I know what the premium cost should be, et cetera?
So an organization typically acts through either its risk management department or its in-house counsel, or can be both, depending on the structure of your particular organization. They will typically work with an insurance broker and potentially the organization's outside coverage counsel. Together, we all work as a team to identify areas of risk that face the client and safeguard against them through the procurement of appropriate insurance coverage. The broker's role is to provide advice regarding appropriate limits, and it takes the risk to the insurance market to come back with pricing and sample policy forms for the client to consider. Outside coverage counsel typically will review that information and provide in-depth advice as to potential coverage gaps with the organization's existing other policies and any coverage enhancements to the proposed policy terms and provisions. Drawing upon our expertise in the legal landscape and new trends, we can then advise the organization as to the manner in which individual policy terms and provisions might be interpreted and applied in various jurisdictions and across a wide range of potential circumstances.
Great. So if an organization experiences a data breach or other cyber-related incident, what should it do to ensure that it's preserving its rights and pursuing coverage under any available insurance policies that it might have?
The most time-sensitive insurance-related element, if you have experienced a data breach or other cyber-related incident, is really to put the insurance company or insurance companies on notice of that incident. Most policies will contain a provision requiring what they call timely notice of a claim, or a potential claim as a condition precedent to obtaining coverage under the policy. In other words, if you fail to provide timely notice, it can be raised by the insurance company as a defense to them otherwise providing you with coverage. Usually the notice must be provided as soon as reasonably practicable, after you discover the data breach or other cyber-related incident. As a result, you should contact your broker or your outside coverage counsel as soon as possible following your discovery of the incident in order to begin noticing the relevant insurers. The initial notice can include details that are immediately available to you to later be supplemented as additional details are uncovered. It doesn't have to be everything all at once. The insurance broker or your outside coverage counsel can also advise you as to whether the relevant insurance policy will impose additional requirements on you following discovery of the breach or other cyber-related incident. One common requirement, for example, is that the organization work with certain vendors or select from a list of vendors that have been pre-approved by the insurer and that are identified at the time the policy is issued. These pre-approved vendors typically include things like forensic data experts, data breach or privacy counsel, and crisis management or public relations consultants. Accordingly, one important part of the insurance procurement process is for the organization to review and revise any of these pre-approved vendor lists to ensure that it includes people the organization is comfortable working with in the event of a later breach. After the insurers have been put on notice of the claim, the organization's insurance broker or outside coverage counsel can then continue to work with them to provide additional information as it becomes available and as it's required, and then shepherd the claim towards a favorable resolution.
Great. Well, Jen, thank you so much for taking the time today to talk about insurance coverage for cyber and data liabilities.
It's been a pleasure, Lawrence. Thanks for having me.
I really think that your discussion today will be very helpful for our member hospitals and their trustees to find in terms of their individual approaches to cyber reduction and cyber management. And thanks to our listeners for other audio casts in our series on cyber-related topics, as well as a wealth of other kinds of resources. Be sure to check out AHA's dedicated cybersecurity webpage at www.aha.org/cybersecurity. Again, www.aha.org/cybersecurity. This concludes our discussion for today.